1, 2, 3.
Today I'm rocking the suburbs.
Hey Patrick, are you ready to record this episode?
Hold on a sec. I need to move all these Rickenbackers out of the way.
All right, Patrick, let's do a Patreon episode today. How about that?
Would love to do it, Jim. And I'm going to say, you know, as I always do, I jump right in. And I got to say big shout out to this particular patron who I'll introduce here in a second. Put the suspenseful music right here because this guy always comes with really cool concepts. He's had members of his family on. He's, you know. Yes. Recorded a CD himself that some of you will get eventually, and I'm really excited about this episode, too.
Yes, so that person, here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
That person is Jeff Niebuhr. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Hello.
We love Jeff, yes, and Jeff is down there in Georgia.
Yep.
Where they have the number one ranked college football team right now.
Is that
but
right?
But you're not a Georgia fan,
no,
right,
I'm
Jeff?
An Auburn. The Auburn
you're an
Tigers.
Auburn guy.
Georgia beat us about 3 weeks ago, so it's terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah. That's okay. All right, we don't need to talk about that. Yep. But we are going to talk about a band from your region, right?
Sure, yeah.
That you really like. So would you like to introduce the topic here?
Sure, yeah. So this is, I transitioned from being a hip-hop person, and then I went to college and became kind of a alt college rock REM centric person, and this band came into my view in 87-88 from, I give a shout out, my friend Chris Reed, called the Connells. So he was going to NC State, they're from Raleigh, and man, I dug deep, fell in love. I've seen him probably 15 times.
Wow.
I've took my kids to see him.
Wow.
I've met them all. I followed them to the bus to get them to sign a drumhead that I got a sound check, and so they're a great band. One of my favorite bands in the whole world, probably top five band for me, the Connells.
What do you love about them so much, Jeff?
Well, I think their music is great. They have they have pretty kind of a jangly pop, but they always have a little bit of a guitar riff that just goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And then I think the vocalist, he's a great vocalist. He's got a little bit of a higher pitch. Mm-hmm. He's funny. The lyric, it was almost like REM, but you could understand all the lyrics.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those earliest first four REM albums, you can't understand hardly anything. Even on the internet today, you can argue that, nobody knows what he was saying. He says he doesn't know.
That's
right. But the Connells, it was a little bit, it was still weird, kind of like, wasn't straightforward pop music as much as it was interesting and, I think the music, I'm a bass player. I think the bass lines are sweet. Mm. Two brothers. There's, David Connell, Michael Connell. Mm-hmm. So I just think they're one of the best kind of alt rock bands out of that era.
Man, I love this band too. And I'll tell you, when I was coming up in D.C. in my formative days, the place to play was the old 930 Club, the original one there on F Street, and the Connells played there all the time. And the reason was they were from North Carolina. They were really good. The owners of the 930 Club liked that style of music. They loved, North Carolina homegrown bands. They played there all the time. They always booked the DBs and REM. They booked all those bands early on. And so the Connells would always play. And, one of the famous things the old 930 Club had was three bands for $3 once a month on Friday night. It was three bands for $3. And that was the first time I ever saw the Connells at that bill. Yeah, it was incredible.
Oh, who were the other two? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. Cause I was blown away by the Connells. They could have been any band, cause it was a great, it was a great monthly thing. And I think they had a drink, some sort of beer special, 50 cent off Rolling Rock or something terrible. But it was great. And then they would play all the time. I remember seeing them support Alex Chilton one time. And I remember, seeing them support many bands that, came through. And that was the other cool thing about, seeing them. And I totally agree. They had a pop energy that wasn't too arty, right? And it wasn't too, you know, university or like scholarly or whatever. And, you know, which occasionally REM would get pretty poetic and flowery. Mm-hmm. So they weren't that way. And yet they had some of that drive that like Boston pop bands had, you know. Yep. I just thought they were great. And totally agree with your comment on the bass. I mean, the band I'm in, you know, we love to have the bass kind of as a melodic instrument. I think it's
carry the melody.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, totally agree. So can't wait to see what you're going to have in store for us. Apparently they have new music. Is that right?
New music. That's right. I saw them. The last time I saw them was on a Facebook Live thing. Wow. During the pandemic. I paid $10.
Cool.
And it was fine. It was great. You know, sound quality wasn't perfect, but they have this new album that just came out. So my idea that, I'm going to combine this with my continued addiction of TikTok is there's this TikTok, two dudes, they're maybe 17, 20 year old, you know, African-American kids, and people send them music and they react to it live. First time they've ever heard it.
Wow.
Heard it. And then people are sending them classic rock songs like Rihanna by Fleetwood Mac, or even like Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. So you mean they're young enough to have never kind of heard some of these things that we just take for granted. And
right.
Their reactions are just great. They pause and like, oh man, this is unbelievable. You know, this is, go see them. They're great. So I thought we would do, I haven't listened to the album. I thought we would do,
cool.
Let's do some first listens, first reactions.
Love it.
See what we think. Maybe, okay. You know, 10, 20 seconds of a song and,
We can go longer than that.
Here's what we'll do. We'll get in a second, but do I get a chance to talk about my Connell's connection? You guys just
absolutely. I'm sorry, Jim.
As if I'm
apologize.
Not a valued member of this production.
And folks, I got to say, in all full disclosure, I did say before we started, I wasn't going to ramble, but guess what? That's too late.
12 minutes. I want to tell real quick. So I saw him in Auburn. You know, I was in college at Auburn. Saw him in Auburn, and then they said, like, we're going to play in Montgomery, which is like an hour away, next Thursday night. And so this is pre-internet, all that. So I call their office in Raleigh or whatever, find that they're up playing at this club. So my best friend and I, Mike DiPadro, and our two dates, we skip school because we want to be front row. We
nice.
Get to the club at like 5 p.m. Doors are locked. They don't open till like 8. We go in there finally 8. We're first row. Those guys don't come on till whatever, 1, you know, 12. The great show. We're front row. It's awesome. I acquired a drum head from soundcheck, and I immediately go backstage, get everybody to sign it, and I get to Peel, who is the drummer, and I have everybody but the bass player. And I'm like, well, where is he? And he's like, well, he's already asleep on the bus. I'm like, man, I'm in a band. I play bass. Come on, man. We play one of your songs. And he's like, all right, wait here. I'm like, idiot. So I'm like, I'm never going to see him again. He goes into the bus. The drummer disappears. 10 minutes later, comes out, signed by the guy. So it's great. So I have it today in my little band room.
That's a great story. I have two questions. Yep. One, once you acquired the drum head,
yes.
How did that work? Did you just like unscrew it from
the
drum?
No, a tech came out and switched out a drum head and threw it to the side, and I acquired it.
I didn't know if you're, you know, into the point
nothing
where
nefarious.
You're just,
no,
yeah,
no,
I'm
no.
just going to unscrew
I'm
it.
I'm a good Southern Baptist boy.
All right.
Nefarious.
Good
nothing
to know. Nefarious. And then
question.
Once you had it, you had to go backstage, right? So was there any problem getting backstage?
No. You know, we're in this weird like club in Montgomery, Alabama. I don't even know that
there's no one watching the backstage.
I was
right
I was essentially outside by the bus, right? I mean, I was like that was it.
Yeah,
I was
that's
no
cool.
security, nothing. It was awesome.
Great story. Sounds like Saturday night at the American Legion in Silver Spring, Jim, where the bands have nowhere to hide.
That's right.
And so, you know, I was wondering, Jim, you have a Connells connection. Why don't you tell us?
Maybe. I want to say, I'm going to say three. I've had plenty of time to think about this now. I'm going to say three quick things about the Connells. One is they were also a band I got into in college. And my one of my roommates, Andrew Nord, who was a big music guy, introduced me to a lot of cool stuff. He introduced me to the Connells, and he was so into this band that he, and this is way back before internet and all that kind of stuff, he would like write to them and stuff and get responses, you know what I mean?
Cool.
Like, he developed some kind of friendship with them, you know, through correspondence, through like, you know, letters and things, right? So that was interesting.
It was an early patron.
Yeah. And then also a second thing I want to say is once on the old show, Patrick, you and I did an episode where we talked about how we both coincidentally bought the Darker Days album.
Yep.
Like within the same week or something.
It was weird,
at a used record store. It was like, you got that? I bought that too. What is
Wait, I have an anecdote to that story.
Yeah.
Right before you could buy that none of them were released. And I wanted to complete my collection. It was when iTunes was kind of becoming big. And I went out and bought their CDs on eBay for a pretty penny. And then the moment I got them, they all became digital like the next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because they were on TVT Records, which, you know,
it was a weird label.
All-time weird label.
Yeah.
That started because it literally did TV theme song novelty records. That was where the TVT came from.
I had a couple of their TV theme song compilation LPs somewhere here in my collection. Oh.
So Darker Days is now on Spotify, but it didn't used to be. That was kind of tough.
It did not. Yeah. I think it was probably because our podcast probably got it back there. Yeah.
That was their debut in 1985. So anyway, there was that. And then the third thing I want to say real quickly is there was this really good sitcom recently on CBS starring Walton Goggins.
Mm.
Walton Goggins, who we love. One of our favorite actors, right? And he was on this sitcom on CBS called The Unicorn, and it was really good. It was like way better than you would expect a CBS sitcom to be. And it was set in Raleigh. One time on the show, literally like the next door neighbor kid like came over for some reason or something, and the kid was wearing a Connells t-shirt.
No way.
And I thought that was such a great touch.
That's
right?
Beautiful. Yeah, that is, right. Yes. That is so beautiful.
Somebody on that show knew what they were doing, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Bandwagon? It's loosely based on the Connells.
I think I
the lead
did
singer
see it
stars
once.
As the manager.
I did see that.
It's worth seeking out.
I saw that, man. I saw the movie a long time ago. Somebody played it for me on a VHS tape. I remember that. Yeah.
Yes.
It was cool. And before we jump into this new album, I just want to say, folks, I just looked it up. Episode 1124 of Sober's Pod, Book Nook, North Carolina Music.
I did
an interview with David Menconi, who writes extensively about the Connells in that book and all North Carolina music. So go back and listen to 1124 and get his book if you don't already have it. So just want to say that.
Great. Okay. Oh, by the way, I've only seen the Connells live once, and that was in Louisville in the 90s. Mid to late 90s at Phoenix Hill Tavern.
Anyway. Sweet.
Okay.
Sweet.
The new album is called Steadman's Wake, and it's their first album in 20 years.
Wow.
20 years, right? Them. So good when this them. Dropped, I was like, what? You know, I think everybody
That's
was
crazy,
just kind of surprised by this, right?
I had no idea they had an album out.
So this album has 11 songs on it, and I think we can do, Patrick, kind of what we did when we used to do this more talk, less rock, or whatever it was called that we did for a while.
Less talk, more rock. Yeah.
Yeah. We would just play each other songs and we would sort of do like quick reaction to them.
Based on my recent behavior, we need to bring that back. So.
I think we did the first minute and then we just like cut it off, right?
That's right.
Yep. Does that work?
I think that's great. Yep.
September 24th. That's the release date.
Okay. Yep. What was it?
September 24th.
September 24th. Okay. So there are 11 songs here. I don't know that we can do all 11, but we can do a few of them, right? So let's just start. We'll start with track one because, you know, you want to hear how the album opens, right?
Sure.
And then from there, we can each pick based on, I don't know, you know, names of songs or whatever, right?
Sure.
Right.
All right. So here's how Steadman's Wake opens up. It's a song called Really Great.
I'm in some
All right, there you go. Was that really great?
Yeah, that was classic Connells. You know, I thought it was great. Peppy, that song's only 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
That's right.
That's bold. Start your album with a 2 minute song. Pretty good.
I think the highest compliment you can give a band is that you just froze time. Like, I was frozen in time. I was like back at the old 930 Club in 1987 or whatever, listening to that. It was great. It had an edge. It was dirty. It wasn't overproduced. It sounded like they just got together in one of the, you know, band members' garage and drank a lot of beer and made some
vocal
songs.
Vocal was buried.
It was great. Right?
The vocal wasn't up front.
It was great.
There was great guitar interplay, I thought.
That was really great.
Nice pop sensibility. It also sounds like the kind of song, I like it when bands do this, when they lead off with a song that sounds like it could be played as the set opener.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally,
like, you
can
totally hear that. They come out and play that song. Just kick it off, right?
Yeah, that made me want to see him again.
Yep. And 226, yes, that's the way to open a record. Yeah, go with your best song that'll sit on a side of a 45 with a big hole. you only got three minutes. Do it. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So now let's see here. Do you guys have the track listing?
I'm looking at yours. I think we go Step and Wait.
Oh, you can see it right here.
That's the title. It's the largest play. So let's hear that.
So we'll skip ahead to track three, the title track, Steadman's Wait. All right, there you go. Now, that to me sounds just right again in a different way. They always had these kind of like slower, maybe minor key kind of songs on their records.
Mid-tempo,
Yeah, that would still just be just as captivating.
Yeah.
Because I think that even when they were doing kind of maybe more melancholy stuff, there was still a certain brightness to their sound that really drew you in, right?
Yeah, did you catch the lyric? I showed up at Steadman's wake. It was my first mistake or something like that. It's a great little turn of phrase.
Yeah, amazing. And I mean, Jeff, there's how many A minors do you think were in that song? It's got to be a lot of them.
A minor.
The saddest of all keys, really.
That's D minor. Lick mine. Yeah, I thought it was great. Classic Connells, great little guitar. You know, I'm going to shout out to the Chill Bumps. The Chill Bumps had a song that we tried. It sounded like the Connells. We wanted to sound like the Connells. I can't remember the name. Anyhow, but it had that little guitar piece of, you know, I just think it's perfect that they, and that was in Steadman's Wake, I think. So it was great.
Do you have a recording of that song that you referenced that you can send us?
I do. I will. It's on Spotify.
It is.
Spotify.
Okay.
I can get it all the time. The name of that song is Lisbon Trees.
Lisbon Trees. I'm looking it up right now, and it's going on my playlist.
That's awesome. What did you think of this song, Patrick? I didn't hear your assessment.
Yeah, I liked it. It had a... I don't know. I guess to be completely honest, this is one of those tunes you want to hear the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
You're not really sure because there's another 3 minutes, right? Where is it going? I like the way it was set up. I like the minor key stuff. It was, reminded me of like kudzu, I guess.
That's good.
All right. Patrick, would you like to pick the next song here?
Oh, sure, Jim. I would love to. Why don't we hear the last song? Because I think, the last song you always put on a record, it's pretty important, right? Maybe you put the first one and the last one, and then you fill the middle in. So let's hear Helium by the Connells.
Okay.
Thank you.
I still remember the sight, and I was amazed. Minimum cool and oxygen spent. I still remember the speed of my own descent.
All right, that song sounds like it's a bit of a slow build. To your point, you may need to hear more of that, but
yeah,
did the first minute. Yeah,
I liked where it was going though.
Yeah, still have the guitar.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it reminded me of? Weirdly enough, a band I like a lot, which is Ockerville River. They kind of do these long slow build things where they tell a story, and that seemed like where that was going. And I'm pretty excited about that. Listen to this record.
Yeah, it's all great.
I mean, do you know anything, Jeff, about how it came about or anything like that? Like,
you know, it's funny. I reached out to them maybe 10 years ago. I connected to some of them, like on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Cool.
And so I follow them. I follow them in general. So I knew it was coming out. I don't know how they decided. You know, they're probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
So maybe their kids are out of the house and they're thinking about, well, you know, I know that David was a lawyer or still is. So, I mean, they all took straight jobs at one point. So maybe it's like, okay, now it's more retirement. Now we have more time for this. And
possible.
Let's put something together. But they toured, you know, they played locally. I saw them up in Chapel Hill maybe 2 years ago. It was awesome. So I think they played maybe 10 concerts a year, even when they're during this quiet period. So that's great.
That's really good. That's 10 times more concerts than Winthrop Slope plays in a year.
Gotta get out there. There's hope.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, Jeff. It's like Dot Dash, right? A great band, right? Who has that same kind of catalog, right? Who plays when they can and makes great records, and they know what great records are. And I don't know. The one thing I'll say, you know, from a gut reaction is that it's obvious that all the people in the Connells never stopped listening to music, right? Mm-hmm. And never like got stuck in, you know, whatever time it was, right? They're still listening to music. They know how it should sound, and they love it. So how about a little bit of Gladiator Heart, Jim? Let's hear a little bit.
Oh, you're making your next pick? I was going to say we each get one more pick. So this is Patrick's second pick.
I'm going to go ahead. Then it's like a snake draft. We'll go backwards.
There you go. All right. Okay, Gladiator Heart. I let that run a little bit longer because it was hitting right at the chorus there.
And
the chorus was great. It was beautiful, right?
That was amazing. I will say this really quick. Is this the bass player's like one song on the album? Because it was really brokenhearted and lovely. Yeah, I loved it.
Well, I would point out the voice. I think his vocals are still really just shimmering and right on top of them. It's just amazing.
He sounds like he's 25 years old. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Great. Yeah. Great.
You know, this whole exercise makes me think of that scene in High Fidelity where he says, I'm now going to sell, you know, 10 copies of the two EPs by the Beta Band, right?
The Beta Band, yeah. Dry the Rain.
Yeah, right. We're playing these songs, and I guarantee we're going to move some product. People are going to hear this.
Sure, like, yeah.
I got to go get this record, right?
It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
The Beta Band were kind of pre-Coldplay. People thought they were hip, but they were really kind of Coldplay. So.
Yeah. All right.
They covered Bonnie Tyler's Total Affair of the Heart. Come on.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's not why you called. So let's go ahead.
That's not why I'm still talking.
That's right. Okay. So whose turn is it?
I think it's your turn.
One of you guys. I'm done.
I get to pick one. All right. So what do we
do? Done.
Okay. I want to do Universal Glue.
Right,
it caught my eye. All right, I think I chose wisely. That's a good jam.
Yeah, that was great, man.
Very driving, and that's the thing I liked about them. They always had some really good energy. Like, you know, like sort of they seem to play tightly and sort of ahead of the beat a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Totally agree.
What did you think, Jeff?
I thought the guitar work at the very beginning was just perfect classic.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Connell, I think, writes most of the music. And then I do believe they switched out lead guitarists recently in the last, 5 years or whatever. But that lead guitar that sits on top, it's not like a lead guitar for Def Leppard where, you know, you're waiting for the guitar solo after the second chorus.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
It's a lead kind of like meandering the entire time. Almost like the Doors, right? It's like, it's just constantly a little bit of a lead lick.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's what propels the Connells forward, right?
Yep. Totally, man. And I love the Doors comparison where Manzarek was such an important, you know, melodic component to that band. Yeah, it was great. Great example.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the other top pick, which is, I guess, Stairs or Stars, number 9.
Okay, Stars. All right. So Stars. This will give you guys 6. So about half the album.
6 of 11. Well, more than half.
Okay.
Bonus track.
Yep. Okay. All right, Stars.
When your stars collide and the fates don't seem to favor everything you've tried is crap. I'm not surprised. My own star's been
All right, that's a slower tune.
Yeah.
Quieter song. Yeah.
I was ready for that one to get going a little bit more. It's only got 2 minutes left, and we didn't really hear a big booming chorus yet.
Yeah.
So I'd want to hear that whole song probably.
Totally, man.
Great interplay, great vocal, great mix.
Yeah, I was going to say I love the mix. I love the crispness of that song. You know, that's what I like about kind of what they do. You can almost see them like marching down a street, with like little tiny battery powered amplifiers on their backpacks,
nice.
Like playing that song. That would work, actually.
That image did not come to me, but now it has. So that's awesome. Yeah.
All right. This has been great, Jeff. What a great idea.
Yeah, well, Jeff, I think you've kicked off a tradition that, you know, is going to be widely repeated in the community. Yeah.
Prep. Band you love.
Right.
Love
it. Listen to it. Love it.
Listen to
love
it. It's awesome. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah.
I am totally on board. I encourage this. Any other patrons want to, you know, do the first
idea.
Listen thing, we'll do it.
Yeah, love it.
Yep, cool.
Jeff, thank you so much, man, for your contribution to this community. And I know you donated some CDs from My Forever DJ as well. So thank you. Thank you, man. We love you.
Great.
It was great.
All right.
Cool. All right. Now, we'd love to hear other people talk about the Connells. So if you have any Connells stories you'd like to share, you call and leave a message, and we'll put your voice on an upcoming show. The number is
612-440-1984.
There you go. Or email rock@suburbspod.com or post a comment on our Twitter or Facebook or Instagram at suburbspod. All right. Let's get out of here.
Cool.
Thanks again, Jeff. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Jeff Neighbor.
We'll talk to you all later. Okay, so here we go. Now, this new album is called
Stedman. Up all of our patrons' time.
That's right.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, that's right. 3 months, we'll pick up this conversation.